come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Monday, February 4th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel. Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas. Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Ross.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Huck.
Ladies and gentlemen of our 62nd legislative session, Mr. President, distinguished members, it's certainly a privilege for me to be here today and this week to pray for you and with you. This is a verse that's been welded in my mind this last week. I was in the last couple of weeks in Africa, and I want to share the passage with you. I want to pray the passage for you. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, these men and women standing here today are, to a large degree, Wyoming's lion chasers. They're the ones that chase down the issues and the problems of our day, things that may threaten us as people and our state. It takes a special kind of tenacity to chase after an elected office, and then another kind of tenacity to chase down the details of this legislation. First, Lord, I want to pray for their families, for their spouses, for their businesses, that they've left to come to serve this state at this time. Lord, I pray for your favor. And for your hand of protection on them and for their families as they serve this state in this capacity. Secondly, Lord, I want to pray for the courage and the wisdom that it takes to chase down solutions that are best for this state. And I pray that these lines of legislation would fall in pleasant places for the people of this state. And finally, Lord, I pray that these lines of legislation would fall in places that please you. Most of all, that the final decisions, when the ink dries, they would meet your approval. And Lord, that somehow they would solicit your favor for the people of this state. Father, I pray that you would bless these men and women today. I know this is a big session and an important session. I pray that you would bless these lion chasers of our day and for our state. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 1st, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Aaron Wilson from Cheyenne. Aaron, welcome to the Senate. Thank you for your service. There is no nurse of the day again. Since we're starting the budget today, the quote today comes from George W. Bush. It's clearly a budget. It's got lots of numbers in it. Abigail Conrad, if you'd come meet me at the mic here. Members of the Senate, this is our new student page for the week. Or is it 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Abigail Conrad from East High School, and she'll be serving us. And Abigail, I would like to present you with a pin that you would hopefully wear of the great seal of the great state of Wyoming. Wear it proudly. Thank you for your help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Messages from the House.
February 1st, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed, Mr. President. The House adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 181, County Officer Authority to Retain Outside Counsel. Ayes 29, noes 30, excused 1. House Bill Number 245, State Parks Peace Officer Retirement. Ayes 28, noes 29, excused 3. The bills have been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction and reading and reference of bills, House bills on first reading. House Bill 216, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 216, Deadly Weapons in a Courtroom, sponsored by Representative Brown, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 216 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 37, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 37, Hunting Licenses Raffle, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1.
House Bill 37 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 143, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 143, Game Road Kill, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to game and fish. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 11, excused 2.
House Bill 143 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Oh, jeez. House Bill 212, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 212, Impact Assistance to Local Governments, sponsored by Representative Throne, an act relating to cities. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1.
House Bill 212 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 132, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 132, Chiropractor Licensure Amendments, sponsored by Representative Harvey, and act relating to the Chiropractic Licensing Act. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 48, noes 11, excused 1.
House Bill 132 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
February 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 208, Engrossed, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 177, engrossed, Hathaway Success Curriculum, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. House Bill 142, second reading of the House Bill, or Senate file.
Senate file 142, utilities rate making.
Senate file 142, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 153, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 153, unemployment compensation direct sales.
Senate file 153, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 155, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 155, big game licenses, archery licenses.
Senate file 155, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 223, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 223, Public Records Institution of Higher Education.
House Bill 223, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Huh? We have a consent.
Okay, bills on third reading and final passage. There is no consent list. Senate file 146, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 146, termination of parental rights, sponsored by Senator Escobel, an act relating to children, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Any discussion? Senate file 146, having been read three separate times. Question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 146, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 146 has passed the Senate. Senate File 149, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 149, complimentary hunting licenses, sponsored by Senator Dockstader, and act relating to game and fish, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Any discussions? Senate File 149. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Senate File 149. Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 149 has passed the Senate. Senate File 152, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 152, Overspending Budgets Penalty, sponsored by Senator Scott, and Act Relating to Offenses by Public Officials, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 152. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Senate Files 152 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft. Dockstader, Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
no.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Hines, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 152, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 152 has passed the Senate. Senate File 160, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 160, Pesticides, sponsored by Senator Geis, an act relating to pesticides, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will read third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 160.
Senate File 160, third reading amendment number 1. Delete the Perkins second reading amendment.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the amendment for your well-being. This amendment essentially kind of guts it out still, and we're going to have a good colleague from Natrona County get up and argue with me, and I'm going to tell you up front, I can't out-argue a lawyer, but you've got a handout on your desk, and it explains the Weed and Pest Council's position on it. I will tell you that whether I can out-argue them or not, the Weed and Pest throughout the state of Wyoming are opposed to this amendment as it stands. I visited numerous offices. They all stand in opposition to this amendment as it is done. So I would urge you to pass this amendment to defeat the other amendment, and if not, vote against the bill. That's their recommendation. Thank you.
Discussion? Senator Perkins.
Shucks, Mr. President. You know, I don't want to sound like a lawyer today. So, Mr. President, vote this amendment up or vote it down. This is what it comes down to in the end. Is spending quite a bit of time with individuals outside the chamber and listening to folks talk. No one can really point to me any particular problem with the amendment that we passed, that this amendment seeks to repeal, except for the fact that the marketers are concerned that without the Department of Agriculture having the ability to come on your property and determine whether or not you've misused pesticides on your property, that somehow creates an additional risk to our beloved chemical manufacturers and pesticide manufacturers, and that ultimately they may no longer sell pesticides in the state of Wyoming. And so, Mr. President, you know, I'm torn, Mr. President, between whether or not I should be able to shoot the wasps in my backyard that come out of the little hole in the side of my house where they like to nest, or, you know, have to swat them instead of spray them with that. And so, you know, it's a risk, and you have to figure out whether or not you're willing to take on that risk of manufacturers pointing out, I'm no longer selling Hillbury because our population is too small, and there's just that risk that we'll have somehow a non-compliant system if. And what it comes down to, Mr. President, is whether or not the Department of Agriculture, who swears he will never do it, but the Direct Department of Agriculture would be able to pass regulations that, one, would require you to keep records of every pesticide that you put or use in your house, and, two, with the ability for someone, an inspector from the Department of Agriculture, show up and figure out and test your yard and see if you indeed have misused them. So, you have before you a choice of, and I guess it's not so much us, because ultimately under the federal regimen, Mr. President, that if we don't make that repealer, then under the federal regimen, that by golly, we will not be able to pass the scrutiny of our federal masters, and that the pests will take over Wyoming, and we'll probably have to leave because we're going to be overrun by aphids, grasshoppers, and other rodents, plants, and other pests. So vote it up or vote it down. I've spent considerable time and cannot see and cannot have explained to me any particular problem with the amendment other than something bad might happen. So that's all. I try not to use any substantial vocabulary that arises out of my legal training in my rebuttal today, Mr. President. And with all respect to the good senator from the northeastern part of the state, I love him. He's a good man. And he's scratching his head on this one, too, because there's not really a good explanation of why the Second Amendment doesn't work.
Senator Anderson?
Thank you. I guess just to bring kind of a perspective of someone who lives on a small acreage with a lot of other small acreage landowners. And I would hope that you would support this amendment. I'd hope that you'd vote it down, vote it up and move it forward. But the point of it is, you know, we know all the critters are out there. Wasps and ants and grasshoppers have been, you know, a big issue lately. And I would say on a small acreage, every spear costs or counts. But for the most part, what we don't buy from the local hardware store, we go to the local weed and pest folks to get, because there's a cost benefit to that. But also with that experience comes a good deal of counseling and a good deal of, you know, of instruction in regard to how to use it wisely and responsibly. And I think for the most part we do. We all read instructions. We all store it, I think, the way we should and whatnot. And I simply say that I would hope that you would support this amendment. I think most all of us are responsible enough to read the directions, listen to the caveats, listen to the instructions from the local weed and pest. I think that this is being done responsible. And regardless of whatever you feel about encroachment and inspection and all of that, what I have, what is mine, is mine. And I think if I can do it responsibly, I don't need someone from on high knocking on my door telling how I should live my life. Thank you. I'd hope you support the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time. Hearing none, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Another great speech once again. And I'd like to point out just a few things with it that's kind of interesting. It's a kind of a chicken little argument, and I'm glad I missed the egg going by this morning. But we're talking about these guys coming in and doing inspections on you. They've had this right to do it since the 1970s. Don't think there's a single case in Wyoming they've come in and done it. other than if something's gone wrong. And what do you want as a neighbor when something's really gone wrong is to have nobody show up and sit there and have your lawn dead or a creek poisoned? Or would you rather have them show up and say, we think there's a problem, what's going on? And that's really what this does, is these guys have not abused their power. They've had it. It's been there since the 70s. They've not showed up and done the deal. They do if you're a certified applicator. I am one. They show up. They inspect your records. They check you out. They do a great job of it. But as far as showing up in Casper or Powell or Riverton and saying, we need to see your records or we want to see how you got your pesticides stored, doesn't happen, guys. The only time it ever happens is when somebody's lawn turns up dead or your wife's flowers are all dead. And they're probably going to come ask what the neighbors applied after they've asked what the commercial applicators around there have done. And that's just fair game. That's part of our society, is when you've been hurt, you need a process for someone to figure out what's happened. Try to do it. The second part of it is, and it's a for real one, these all have labels from the federal government. And I realize Wyoming's a giant of a state, and we represent a huge part of market of a lot of these pesticides. I will tell you that if there's a problem with this, their answer is not going to be to say, we don't care. Because how these pesticides lose their labels, and I can give an example of the one for you, Toradon, when they're misapplied, they lose their labels and they can no longer use them, and they represent millions of dollars profit to them. And when one of them is misapplied and there's no process there, they lose their labels. So probably the answer is going to be, if the Weed and Pest Council is right, that wasp spray, you may need to go back to the fly swatter, because it might not be on the shelf in Wyoming. It'll be on the shelf in every other state that has acceptable laws, but it may not be on the shelf in your state. With that, I'll encourage you to pass it in. Thank you.
Question is, shall a third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 160 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 160, third reading amendment number 1, has passed. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 160, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read, or shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard. Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate File 160. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 160 has passed the Senate. We are now at that order of business, introduction of Senate Budget Bill. Senate File 1, the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, and Act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1B, Senate File 1 is referred directly to the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole to consider only the budget bill, Senate File 1.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Case.
Point of order.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Cole will be doing it tomorrow. Senator Case tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Senator Cole. Thank you. It said Case on my deal.
Have fun? Oh, yeah. Real minute.
The committee of the whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
Oh, we need the jacket. I'm sorry. I took it out. Thought I was going to work it. Right there. Okay.
Committee. There we go. Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations 2, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, and Act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate File 1. And members of the Senate, just to refresh all of our memories, we're going to talk a little bit about procedurally what we're going to try to do this week on our joint appropriations bill, our budget bill. And pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1M, we will be in Committee of the Whole today and tomorrow. Of course, in Committee of the Whole today and tomorrow, there will be no amendments allowed. The deadline for submitting second reading amendments, which will be heard on Wednesday, in second reading, will be tomorrow at 5 p.m. So if you want to have a second reading amendment to be heard and discussed on Wednesday when we do second reading, it needs to be in to staff by 5 p.m. tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. And that includes not only our staff in the back, but also any budget staff persons. Then, Mr. Chairman, what we'll do, according to continuing on to 14-1, we'll work the bill on Wednesday and work all those second reading amendments. We will take Thursday off, and you can prepare all your third reading amendments, which we will discuss on third reading for Friday. Those amendments all have to be in by 5 p.m. on Thursday. So your amendments that you want to put in, 5 p.m. tomorrow for second reading, 5 p.m. Thursday for third reading. And that's the procedure on what we'll do. And, of course, when you get into second reading and third reading, and today, by the way, Mr. Chairman, there will be unlimited discussion. And what we've done with the budget bill, we divided it up between your appropriations committee, so all of us will be taking different parts of it. And, of course, when you get to second and third reading, our rules say that you get to speak 5 minutes only, but you can do it twice on each budget amendment. And of course, all those budget amendments will require a roll call vote. With that, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to visit a little bit about some of the things before we actually get into the bill itself. Do you all have your most recent goldenrod? If you grab that goldenrod, I just want to point out a few things in case there's any questions before we move forward on this. And, Mr. Chairman, if you look at the front page, page one, it talks about our revenue stream. And if you look down there under general fund revenue, you can see we have roughly $2.1 billion. And, Mr. Chairman, that includes the $90 million we had coming into this supplemental budget period, of which $85 million came from the updated Craig report in October. That's 85 of the $90 million. The other $5 million were additional funds and reversions to come up with the $90 million. The other important thing, Mr. Chairman, if you look on that same front page sheet, and go down to where it says general funds appropriations, where we're reducing the size of government. You can see $69 million there, and that's because of some different things we've done in the budget. But it used to be $60 million, which essentially said we had $150 million on the table in terms of additional revenues for this supplemental budget bill. $90 million from Craig and the $5 million that we retained from the last period, and $60 million in prospective cuts. Then what you do, Mr. Chairman, if you look down into the budget bra transfer to LSRA, that just shows you how much money is left on the table after the governor's recs, which was $21 million, and you look over there to the right, you'll see after the JAC recs of $13.5 million. Mr. Chairman, the critical thing about this, it looks like that we spent more money than the governor, but we did not at all. And I want to be sure and clarify that to the body. The major difference in ours and the governor's recommendations is the fact that the governor wanted to take the $60 million that he wanted for fire suppression out of the LSRA. And if you go to page, let's see, where's the LSRA? Go to page 3. And you look down there at the bottom, appropriations, fire shortfall, you'll see a $60 million that's taken out of the LSRA. If you look over at the JAC recs, it's zero. So, Mr. Chairman, the big difference is we did not want to spend the LSRA fund. We wanted to take it out of general fund. So then if you go back to the front page where it shows $13 million on the table after the JAC recs, it really is $13 million plus the $31.2 million. So we're coming to this body, in essence, with $41 million more available because we were able to absorb that $30 million in our general fund and not spend the LSRA. And that's very important, Mr. Chairman, to understand that. And maybe before I go on, does anybody have any questions about that particular part of the Golden Run? I've got some other things to discuss, but are there any questions?
Are there any questions? Please proceed, Senator Bevo.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then another thing that I think is really important is if you go to page 4, school foundation program. And I talked a little bit about this last week, where if we look at the foundation program, if you look at the top of the sheet, you'll see that $100 million, and that's a statutory requirement that we maintain that balance in there at all times. And you work your way down, you go through the foundation program, and you have what the law itself requires of us to do through the funding, and then you have what I call the legislative foundation program, and you can see all the money's added there. If you look down that list, you'll see about two-thirds of the way down, you'll see $8.1 million additional funding. That's for what's included in the supplemental budget bill, a one-time salary bonus to the foundation program. That's $8.1 million. If you go further down, you'll see school safety, $2.3 million, public employee retirement plans, $3.7 million, and year-round school calendar incentive, $3 million. And what that does, Mr. Chairman, if you continue to work your way down under the school capital construction account, you'll see a negative $5.1 million. Mr. Chairman, what this means is that if based on our school capcom budget that we have in there and the amount of money that's included in Senate File 105, which is our school capital construction program, we are now, if all of these other different bills pass for those appropriations of the school foundation program, we will be dipping into our PLF holding account. So I want the body to be sure and understand that if we pass all of these, then we are dipping into the PLF holding account. And if you recall the discussion the other day where we're taking the Coley's bonus money and we're going to replenish that account up to $450 million as sort of a buffer, an LSRA, if you will, for the school foundation program, then the Coley's bonus money will be utilized to buffer these other additional programs we're talking about implementing. That's very important. And, of course, there's nothing we can't do if you want to utilize one-time money because, like the Coley's bonus that's flowing through, that, you know, after 7 years we don't have any. I just want the body to understand on the school foundation program, the spending we have set up, and I'm going to get some numbers for you as we look into the next biennium to see the impact of it, but we are actually dipping into that PLF holding account. And I think that's very important, Mr. Chairman, to understand that. Are there any questions on that?
Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I do understand what we're doing there. But what were the alternatives? Because what we're being asked to do is fund an ongoing expense with one-time money. And we've always resisted that. Coley's bonuses come and go, and it can be good times and it can be not so good times. But it is one-time money. They pay it out over the 5 years, I think, is what they do. What were the alternatives to using coal lease bonus monies, particularly going into the holding account, to make that account, well, actually going up to the school funding, to make that program whole? Do we have any other really revenue streams that are continuous if we're going to keep up with those programs?
Yes, Senator Bebop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very good question to my colleague from KC. And several things can happen. One is that if you continue at this level with the same level of capital construction, then the only place to get that money, unless you were to appropriate it someplace else, is a PLF holding account. Now, what you can do, and the way it's set up, depending on the numbers for the next biennium, you can reduce the school capital construction. So you can take money out of school capital construction, but remember that part of how it's funded already is through the coal lease bonus, plus the additional coal lease bonus we're talking about. So, Mr. Chairman, you can make a heck of an argument that in terms of one-time money filling the amount of money we're talking about spending, there really is no revenue stream to pay for that unless the overall school foundation program generates more revenues because the price of natural gas goes up and we have more from severance tax and FMRs. So you can see the situation we have with the school foundation program.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you may have explained this, and I just didn't catch it while I was following the numbers, but in the last Goldenrod portfolio or profile, we had 1.6 million, about 1.59, going from the PLF holding comp back into the school CAFCON account, plus we had the 56 million. So something's changed in the profile that's eliminated that return back.
Senator Bebop?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason that is different is because if you go back up under the school foundation program and you look at those three different House bills that have now passed Committee of the Whole, have a funding in them. That's the School Safety and Security Program, the Public Employee Retirement Plan, and the year-round calendar incentive. So those are now included in the amount of money we will spend out of the school foundation program. That flows through, and it hits that negative $5 million in the school capital construction that has to be there to pay for those additional appropriations, which takes the PLF holding account down by that much to offset it.
Chairman.
Senator Nicholas.
So that's the that's the auto appropriation, but it's a different number, isn't it? No, I've got you. So what's happening and what you're telling us then is that you've got money coming down from the school foundation account, you're using all the coal lease bonuses, and you're having to bring money back from the permanent land fund holding account to make this biennium. So it works this time, but eventually it's not sustainable.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct, and the only way that you make up for that is you pull it out of the school CAFCON account that comes from coal lease bonus or flows through the system, or you make it up with the PLF holding account. But the majority floor leader is correct.
Senator Schaefer?
Mr. Chairman, and I'm still tracking with you, but my concern comes if we go down this route and given, and I forget whether it was Campbell 1, 2, 3, or 4, but somewhere in there, it says that funding for schools has to take precedence over all other funding. And that's what's probably going to happen. We're taking one-time money and funding schools now, and whether it's at $9 million in those three bills or school capital construction, at some point it seems to me we got to address that Supreme Court decision and say, how do we make up ahead of all other spending to make sure that the schools are funded properly. I'm not sure that doing it with one-time money makes a lot of sense.
Senator Bebop?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not endorsing what's going on with this, and I agree, and I think that's the whole purpose of this, is we have to look very carefully at these additional legislative-driven mandates we add on to the foundation program because of the one-time funding scenario. And that's the whole purpose of bringing this up, because if we vote for all these and put that against the foundation program plus the additional legislative side of it, then we have that situation will, I think, exists. And that's why I bring it up. be very cautious, senators, that we move forward, that we vote for all of these. Are we, in fact, going down that road?
Senator Von Fledern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question, well, we're also considering school CapCon in getting driving to that deficit. And by the way, I really wish they'd changed the name of those lawsuits. But we are driving our way. And we do regulate the amount of capital construction. So you can zero that out or actually show excess in the holding fund by less capital construction, which is not so much mandated by the Supreme Court decisions, but is what we decide to spend it on. I mean, we do have to equalize all schools in some manner, but the speed at which we do it would make that a zero or actually a gain to the PLF holding account. Would that be correct?
There to be about.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and that's what I said earlier. That's the option you have. If you have any kind of a school CapCon account and we go through with these additional legislative mandates, then that's where it would come out. If you either have less school capital construction or you take it out of the PLF holding account. But to my colleague's point from KC, when you start doing that, you're having ongoing expenses against one-time revenues because school CapCon, you could argue a lot of that's one-time revenue. So the point that made from my senator from KC is exactly right.
Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Vice President, it is a little unclear to me in the numbers here where our recurring revenue and our recurring expenses are as opposed to the one-times, Coley's bonuses, and capital construction. When I'm looking, I see that obviously we have estimated revenue of $1.68 billion that I see on about line 3-ish. And then what I don't know clearly is what among the appropriations falls into recurring. Obviously, school foundation program does, but there are some others there, and there's no clear delineation for me. The one-time bills we see below aren't. So it is hard to untangle that. I don't know if there's any clear way to indicate that. The other thing I would love is line numbers on this, but that's a different story. Anyway, if there's any way that that those can be delineated or you can make a clearer picture of what are the one-time appropriations versus the continuing appropriations that we're seeing here, that would be helpful.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you look at the and understand the way the formula and the whole foundation program set up is it's the 12 mills statewide, the 25 mills local, and the additional mills that comes up with the $1.6 billion. This is just our part of it. This is only the state portion, which you don't see of the local mills. So it comes up to about $1.5 billion a year total. And as you work your way down through that, that's what's mandated within the foundation program. And it's been that those property taxes have been higher than the amount that you need for the foundation program based on the model that we have. So those monies will flow down, and you take out the $100 million that's statutorily required, those flow down into the school capital construction. So that overflow, because of the high price of natural gas, allowed us to have more money in capital construction. You know, that's gone down now considerably, and it all flows through. And now the Coley's bonus money has come into capital construction before, as long as what we're talking about diverting that's coming up. And the PLF holding count has the excess of that. In order to tell you what is ongoing and what's one time, you know, you'd have to look at the individual bills. But I can tell you that if you go back the last 2 or 3 years and see what the legislature has added on, facilitators and different things that we've added on through the foundation program, those, once they're there, they stay. And the only one I can tell you out of all of these bills, in my opinion, that would be considered one time, and you could call it an ECA if you liked, is the $8.1 million that goes to the one-time bonus for the school that we're also talking about giving to the public employees. You'll also look at the $3.75 million for the retirement program. That would be ongoing. And the other bills, I would say, if they pass, would probably be ongoing as well.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Please proceed, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I thought I would do is give you from 30,000 feet just some of the highlights of this, and then we'll get into it a lot more. And Mr. Chairman, I talked about the $150 million, and you're all very familiar with what the governor recommended and what he wanted to do and some of the ideas, and just to look at some of the big ticket items that's included in our appropriations bill, and some of these we agreed with the governor on and some we didn't. But the areas we agreed with the governor on was pretty much to move forward with the funding of the College of Engineering building. And, Mr. Chairman, we talked about this in the AML budget bill, where it was a lot better to swap out with the Wyoming Water Development Commission the AML funds, and therefore we took the $30 million for the Gillette Madison out of the general fund money. Through the AML money we did the swap, Gillette Madison will be funded. That $30 million went back into the general fund, and so we took that along with the money that was already appropriated for the engineering college to come up with a total of $65 million for the engineering college. Your budget bill includes a $5 million one-time appropriation to add to the AA over at the university, and we can talk about that later when we get into that specific item. There was a lot of discussion about cities, towns, and counties. The governor recommended $20 million. The JAC concurred with that $20 million, so that you'll see is still in the supplemental budget bill. The governor also recommended, because we told him to, we said, you shall recommend $15 million for landfills, and we said, since we told you to and you recommend it, we ought to do it. So we put $15 million into that landfill fund. And, Mr. Chairman, if you look at page 5 on your goldenrod, you'll see the landfill fund there and the recommendation. That's a fund we've been building up for the last several years because of that huge potential liability that we have with our landfill situation. Generally, in terms of the budget reductions, the governor was in the $60 million range. We went in and did some additional removal and cuts that, and you'll get into those more specifically in the budget. A couple of things that are, I think, are pretty important that we do in this budget bill is one thing we had a great discussion about the Medicaid expansion the other day, and we have the out of woodwork costs that we're going to experience for the additional people that are going onto that program, and that is about $12 million, $11.5 million of which, I've got the number here, that's $7 million of general fund money. That is included in this, so we picked up that $7 million. The other thing we did, Mr. Chairman, relative to employees, is the governor had recommended $8.5 million for compensation and a $2.5 million for a merit pay, and he did not include the schools. He just did it for state employees. And what we came up with was kind of a compromise, and I think there'll be some discussion about whether or not the school foundation program, those employees should get the 1% bonus because of the step increases they already get that our state employees do not get. But there was about $7.5 million sitting in the auditor's office that was available for us to appropriate for salaries. We took that, and we were able to give the salary increase of the 1% one time for the state employees, which includes the state, the University of Wyoming, community colleges, and the judicial branch. We did not go along with the merit pay. And then in the budget, there's a retirement bill coming where we talk about a 0.5% going into the retirement fund that right now would be paid by the employer, and that's part of that. But by doing that, we were able to give the raises we thought were reasonable, the 1% one time, and we used the available funds in there, so the entire raise, instead of costing $11 million, only cost us about $1 million. So we're able to save, essentially you could say that we found that money, saved it, and that offset we were having to do and pay for the Medicaid expansion for those out of the woodwork. Mr. Chairman, a couple things we denied that the governor wanted. I'll just get into those a little bit. We denied both the Mega Data Center. If he wanted $5 million more dollars, because as you recall, we had $15 million in the last year's budget bill. He used $5 million of that to be utilized here in Cheyenne with a major company. He still has $10 million. We didn't think he needed another $5 million, and we denied the general fund request for the Wildlife Trust Fund. If you recall, the program they have here has about $7 million worth of general fund dollars in it, and we felt like that since they had $7 million worth of general fund money in the program, we did not take any of that money. We felt like we didn't need to do that. Just to give you an idea on one of the things that we tried to do, too, there's an issue of where you biennialize or not with the budget. Some of them when they did their budgets, it really was only for the second half of this biennium, and it wasn't biennialized. If you go into the next budget cycle, which means they'd have to have a double whammy when they work for the next biennial budget. And we went into like one particular agency where they were utilizing their reductions from grant programs, and you'll see a lot of that where there's not substantive cuts to which you would consider to be really government. They took it out of grants, and in A&I, I'll get into that more, but we went back to that particular agency and said, no, we want to see real government reductions, and they came back with a plan, and we adopted it. The other thing I would say, Mr. Chairman, is that there was a lot of transfers that happened to ETS for IT, and you recall that last session we passed that bill to set up an ETS to be able to take care of all of our IT work in the state, and you'll see in this supplemental budget bill that over 270 or 80 employees are transferred from all around government to the ETS. So a lot of these budgets will include a reduction in FTEs. A lot of those FTEs go to ETS. I will tell you that a lot of agencies did, in fact, reduce their normal FTEs, but most of it was through either a vacant position or attrition, not attrition, but a vacant position. And as I recall, and members of the committee can jump up and say if I'm wrong, but I think there was only possibly one termination of a state employee. All of the $60 million plus that we had in reduction, we did not send out any pink slips. And that's a quick look at it, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to, the other thing I need to talk about too, Mr. Chairman, is we set up what's called a SIPA account. And you understand how we have the 5% spending policy that's comes from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and by statute, all those funds should go to the general fund. That's the way that's set up. However, what's been happening, and we put that in the budget bill over the last several budget cycles, is that anything that comes in under capital gains, when it finally hits the treasurer's office and we realize those as of like June 30th, then that fact goes to the LSRA. What we did is under SIPA, which we call a strategic investment, we went in and captured $80 million of that, assuming that we will have some capital gains that will come in on June 30th. I think it's a safe bet to tell you that we will, and we very well could have like $150 million or possibly more that will come in June 30th. We don't know. Things could change in the next 5 or 6 months. But if that comes in, $80 million of that is captured in the SIPA account, and that will be utilized. If you recall, in the governor's budget, he had $80 million worth of other spending one time that he thought really needed to be done, and I agree with him. You know, we want to finish the things we started, like the Gillette Madison. There's $28.5 million there for Gillette Madison. There's some more money there for landfills, and that money would be captured for us to, if we wanted to appropriate, it's not appropriated, that we would come back during the next budget cycle for the budget next year, and we would appropriate that money if there's any money there to capture. It's just a way to set up to sort of have it available for those important programs. The other thing we did, and we talked about the school foundation program, as that money flows through, and the governor set aside, he wanted the Coley's bonus money to go into the LSRA, we said, no, what we want to do is we want that to flow through the foundation program and go into the PLF holding account. We set up to have $450 million in there, so we would have funds available just in case we get ourselves in a bind with our school foundation program. Anything over that $450 million tips into the permanent land fund. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, that you don't see in here is that the governor wanted to take the statutory 1% diversion of the severance taxes that now goes to the permanent fund, and he wanted to divert that to the LSRA. We did not go along with that. It is now, as far as this budget bill is concerned, it does continue to go to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund.
Discussion, Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I understand it all. In terms of the capital gains, the June 30th, that's going to be the annual capital gains, but right now we're going through that rebasing process where they go in and rebid and renegotiate and all that stuff they do with these folks that manage that. We've never picked those up before. What are we going to do with them? Do they fall into the June 30th deadline, or do we hold those separate till they are actually realized? Where are we at on those?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Bebout.
I mentioned the number, $150 million of that, $90 million of that rebasing you're talking about. And as I understand it, it has to do with, we went with some different investors and they had to rebase it, and so that's the number they came up. That is, in fact, part of that $90 million. And that's, we feel fairly confident we'll realize that, but that is a one-time deal. And of course, even though we realize that, if the market should go down and we have offsets, even though that is, that I would say that is definitely there, that could go down because of other things that might happen to the fund just based on the investment as far as what's going on in the market conditions.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in regard to a broader discussion, as we read our newspapers in regard to conditions in Washington, D.C., and we're familiar with Simpson Bowles and that, was there any conversation in regard to how Wyoming must begin to position itself in the event of much more austere federal programs and how we might position ourselves in that? Or will that perhaps be a discussion we'll have in the upcoming budget session in 2014? It just seems to me that as we very prudently and I think very articulately express Wyoming's ability to try to position itself for sustainability, that in the event that those things happen outside our control in regard to the demands of education, health care on federal programs, how do we position ourselves in that environment?
Senator Bebop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're talking about the sequester and what's going on with the, all over the cliff and all of that, and that triggers, if they can't come to reconciliation, it was to trigger these automatic cuts. We asked several agencies about that. We will be impacted. We will be impacted in our military side of it. There's some impacts that occur all the way through, and I've looked at that sequestering account, and it's like anything you would expect from the federal government. It's long and problematic and hard to actually interpret what it means. There will be some negative hits there. I can't tell you exactly what those will be because we just don't know the impact or the size of them, but it's there. As to other things that the federal government might do, we have a huge number that if you look at the state of Wyoming in terms of federal mineral royalties, the revenues we received for the most recently completed year that came out, I think, was 2011, was about $1 billion. That's federal mineral royalties. I think the next state was New Mexico with around $400 million, then it drops down to about $100 million. So, yeah, Wyoming is just sort of like with our AML funds. You know, they look out there and see Wyoming, and we all know what happened with our AML funds. It was unconscionable what they did and how they did it, but they did it. So there's always that potential of something happening in terms of some of our federal funding.
Other discussion. Senator Bevout, are you ready to start with section 001?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move section 1, the definition section. It's the same as within the other bill. And further, without any further discussion, we call for the question.
All in favor of the motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. That section's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I will move Section 2, the agencies. And, Mr. Chairman, the first one, you all have your cheat sheets. The first agency, Mr. Chairman, is the governor. And if you look at your cheat sheets, you'll see down there under the footnotes, that the JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce the agency budget by $636,000. Mr. Chairman, we originally asked the governor to do 8%, which was $508,000. He took it up to 10, and we agreed with him on that. We also adopted his transfer of $18,000 of ETS. That's what I talked to you about, the full-time people moving to consolidate ETS and those funds there. We denied, if you go to the footnote number 3, we denied the $5 million for the mega data centers, leaving $10 million there in general fund money now. And we also reduced the governor's letter 1 of $250,000 to $125,000 for streamlining state government. In one of his letters, he requested $250,000 to do that. We thought he could do it for $125,000. And the other thing, if you look up on the, Mr. Chairman, if you look up on the $5 million that, that's not correct. The $5 million, if you look on the Supplemental Governor's Rec General Fund, and you see the negative 4875, that includes the $5 million on the data centers. And then we added footnote 5, directing the state officer to deposit the general funds appropriated for the FINERPA account. And, Mr. Chairman, there was a couple places in the budget where the state auditor wanted this to be specifically put in a separate account for that purpose, and we did that. And, Mr. Chairman, as far as the cuts that we made very quickly, out of the 100 series, we took $100,000 for administration and $636,000 out of policy. We took 75,000 out of clean coal, Homeland Security, we took some. I can get all these numbers. It's all in your budget. We took the Endangered Species Coordinator for 59 and 900 series contracts for 221. And in the testimony we heard at the JAC, we thought this was all appropriate. That's how we come up with the 636. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions on Section 001, Office of the Governor. Senator Scott.
Very quick one on the jargon. What does ETS stand for?
Mr. Chairman, that's the new agency that we set up. It's the help me out, members of Electronic Technology Systems. I don't think it's electronic. Enterprise Technology System. Mr. Chairman, that's the IT function that we have with state governments. We consolidate all of the different IT people into one agency, and there'll be a separate budget for them in here.
Other questions on Section 001? All in favor of the motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. Section 001 has been adopted. Next
section. Chairman, I move Section 2, Secretary of State. Mr. Chairman, what we did with Secretary of State, we did the 8% cuts. If you look on your cheat sheet, we reduced one position that was computer maintenance. And some computer maintenance, it was an open position. We adopted the governor's rec to transfer to the ETS system. And we modified the governor's budget reduction for the computer maintenance by $9,000.
Discussion on Section 002. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I got a complaint from the Secretary of State's office that you'd taken out a filled position that was filled by somebody who was a legal expert for them. And this doesn't... That doesn't reconcile with what I'm hearing here. What's going on? Is there a misunderstanding? Because they said that the position was filled, and that's definitely what it was.
I stand corrected, Mr. Chairman. That was a filled position, and he offered it, and we took it.
Further discussion? On Section 002. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this is, I think, one of the problems you get into when you get these across-the-board 8% cuts and you get into the smaller agencies. You aren't cutting back what they're supposed to do. You're just simply knocking out particular filled positions. And I wonder if it's really feasible in this place, because I understand that the individual that's involved that's going to get fired if this budget goes through is one that was initially hired, Mr. Chairman, to help them with the federal Help America Vote Act and has since been used not only on the voting things, but in a number of their security fraud areas where you get some pretty highly tactical things and you need some knowledgeable help on some of the legal issues. And the write-up I hear says it has to do with some kind of computer thing, but I hear that's not true and that it's, in fact, a filled position in that area.
Further discussion, Senator Schiffer.
And Mr. Chairman, I sympathize with my colleague from Natrona County. But quite frankly, if we go through all these positions, I think much to our surprise, we're going to find that oftentimes positions dedicated, for example, to computer technology are doing jobs that are totally unrelated to what the legislature has designated they should be. That's pretty rampant in the state. We just passed a bill earlier this session, based in part because that was what was going on. I would suggest to you it goes on throughout every single department of state government. We can appropriate the money for a specific need, and theoretically the Right to Vote Act that was going to be federally funded, they pulled the funds back, he wanted to keep the program going, so he switched it over to a computer technician's salary, and that's what they do. It's rampant, and I applaud what Appropriations is doing. They got to make a cut, And if those folks aren't using the money the way it was directed, then they got to bear the consequences.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, when I was making my opening remarks, I said there were a couple of positions that were actually people would have to be removed. This is one of them. There's one other one.
Further discussion? Yes, Senator Raffis.
No, good.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification for the Chairman of Appropriations. I read this as the reduction consists of one position and computer maintenance, not a position related to computer maintenance. So my understanding is that it's two different concepts, and maybe there was some confusion there, but if you could clarify.
Mr. Chairman, there is one position that's being reduced and computer maintenance is a different component.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question on section 002? Senator Douglas.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, you know, if we have these two positions that look like they may have to be a reduction in force, have we undertaken to require, or maybe we should require, that if there are vacancies in other departments, that they be filled first by these positions that are being lost to attrition? And as I join with my colleague from KC, that, you know, you can't say, well, we're not going to constrain or start narrowing our budgets, and then get up and say, well, I didn't mean that position, I didn't mean this position, but there are enough vacancies that take a place throughout government, and certainly the Attorney General's office has vacancies. One would assume that these are services that could be picked up by the Attorney General's office, and that if there are vacancies, we can require that these folks get do a transition to those other offices.
Yes, Senator Bebout.
Question.
Senator Meyer.
Just to explain, as we go through these positions, there's a Section 300, and it should alleviate some of your concerns about these positions that get lopped off, because the Section 300 has a hiring freeze but allows the governor and the agencies to get together where there's vacancies, and if it's a critical need of government and the agencies can sell the governor on it, then he can do a B-11 and bring back these people from vacancies that are within government that occur. So that's to kind of alleviate some of the heartburn that if there's something that absolutely has to get done and there's a vacancy there, the mechanism exists in the Section 300 to allow that to happen.
Question.
Question being called for. The question is on Section 002, Secretary of State. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 002 has been adopted. Section 003, State Auditor.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 003. Members of the Senate, if you look at your cheat sheet, we reduced the agency budget by $106,000. It consisted of one AWAC position and operating expenses. The AWAC position was a vacant position. Then you'll also see number two, where we transferred $5,900 general fund to ETS for IT services.
Are you ready for the question on Section 003? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 003 has been adopted. Section 004, State Treasurer. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 4, State Treasurer. If you look at the cheat sheet, we reduced the agency budget by $165,000 general fund. It consisted of one position. Again, it was an open position and operating expenses. And then once again, we did the ETS transfer.
Discussion on Section 004. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Questions on Section 004. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 004 has been adopted. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, we'll work off the cheat sheet, but we will go into the bill on a footnote. So just so you guys know that we'll finish that up at the end. The governor moved to reduce the agency's budget by $468,020. The JAC adopted with some modification. Reduction consists of personnel services, which is two positions, and operating expenses and contract services. We also adopted the ETS transfer, and that consists of 609,000 and five positions. And we also had a reduction in the one part-time position and one AWAC, as I talked about in the first section. and then we transferred the other positions to ETS for a total of three there and two others. So that's a total of five positions to ETS and one part-time and one AWAC position. We did do some fund swapping within divisions to match up the part-time and the AWAC. So we fine-tuned that because that was out of balance because they cut half and half, and we rolled them back around so we could cut a full one. Then, Mr. Chairman, let me talk about the footnote. That's on page 14, line 17, footnote number 5. No general expenditure modification, and these are GEMs. No general expenditure modification related to the 100 series in the department's budget shall be executed unless first documented by the Department of Education and approved by the Department of Administration Information Budget Division and the governor. Now, GEMs are primarily moved around, used all throughout state government, and the primary function of those is to spend federal funds down before state funds are spent. So that's one of the reasons for GEMs. So it's a normal occurring thing, but this department perhaps used it in an area which was a little bit different than what the normally occurring areas, the things that normally occur in government, although it wasn't federal funds primarily. But we wanted to put some sideboards and approval of the governor. So the GEMs in the Department of Education will operate more like V-11s than GEMs. So any further explanation on that? I guess I can try to make that more confusing. Mr. Chairman, that pretty much says what we did. The department had no supplemental budget requests. They had 29 position realignments that was not approved by the governor, and the JAC concurred, assuming that the governor and the new director will look at those. And other than that, Mr. Chairman, the budget stayed pretty much the same.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if the good senator could, on note 5, the footnote 5 on that, it talks about transferring additional previously contested full-time IT positions. And I know what you're doing by transferring these positions over to the IT operations now, but what was the deal about being contested there? What was that?
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The contested positions, and you'll see this in several things, we pretty much went with ETS on most of these and most of the agencies, that a department would say, well, these positions are so specific to a program that generally the ETS function could not be handled, or the technology function could not be handled by just any person in a technology department, that those were so specialized that they had to be handled by that special person in-house. And frankly, we felt that for the most part, that was most of these divisions, for the most part, if they were contested. Sometimes they won the contest and it never got to this point where they continued to be contested. They normally resolved the issue. I think there was about three different departments or divisions where the issue wasn't resolved. We took it upon ourselves to resolve it and just said these are going to ETS.
Further discussion, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to hang us up on this particular section, but to follow up real quickly on that conversation, the Senator, I'm wondering if the Appropriations Committee has been able to get arms around whether or not this ETS department is working like we thought it might, which is to consolidate some of these positions, or if it's too early to tell on that front.
Senator Meyer.
Generally speaking, we believe it is starting to work like it's supposed to, but it is too early. We haven't got anything, you know, concrete as far as being able to track everything. But the computers are still staying on. We've had some good reports back that everything's functioning the way we thought it would function. Now the next step is to see whether or not we can shrink that department because there might be some economies of scale, and that'll be the next step.
Further discussions on section 005. Ready for question? Yeah. Questions on section 005. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Section 005 has been adopted. Senator Bebel.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 006, Administration and Information, A&I.
Senator Bebaugh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the amount of reductions that they were required to do with the 8% was roughly $3.1 million. And, Mr. Chairman, this is where, when the agency came to the Joint Appropriations Committee, if you look at your numbers down there, you can see that what we did is we agreed with amounts, we just didn't agree where they were coming from. And they had taken $1.5 million out of the grant section that dealt with risk management. And, Mr. Chairman, your Appropriations Committee felt like that really wasn't a reduction in government. So we asked them to come back and say, okay, we're not going to do that as far as a reduction. We don't consider that. Tell us what else you can do in terms of some real reduction in government spending. And they came back, Mr. Chairman, with a proposal that was a compromise where instead of $1.5 million that would be that grant, they would only give $408,000 to the grant. And in turn, we had some reductions. And if you look at the cheat sheet, Mr. Chairman, you'll see that we reduced four FTE. Three of those open, one was not. There is one position in the mailroom that would be, in fact, terminated if this moves forward. There were also two people that went to the ETS. And by the way, Mr. Chairman, ETS, we finally got it right. Enterprise Technology Services is what that stands for. And, Mr. Chairman, if you look at some of the other reductions that they made in their budget, they allocated, in terms of construction management, they took out $90,000, contract service for project consultants, $50,000. They took out of their HR software maintenance of $500,000, which, again, is a contract, Mr. Chairman. We didn't think that was a reduction, but that's part of the compromise we came up with. If you look at the footnotes, Mr. Chairman, you'll see on footnote 7, there was some language added in there because of the mailroom situation that we wanted to report back no later than October 1st of 2013 on the central mail delivery system services offered to the state agencies. We had the discussion about are they delivering twice a day. Maybe there's some things we could do that would be more cost-effective, and that's the purpose of the footnote. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions on Section 006, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, just out of curiosity, are they going to mail you that report, or are they going to bring... never mind. Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. You mentioned the $1.5 million that was a cut to the risk management. Now, is that a cut out of our... We have a reserve fund for risk management. Is that a cut out of that fund? I didn't track. Did we get it put back in that fund, or... What happened with that? As I recall, there's about $10 million in that fund. We've been trying to build it up over the years, but did we lose money? Did we lose ground on that fund?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bebaugh.
Yeah, that is that risk management fund, and you'll remember, most of you that have been around a while back in the old days when we really were in a bind, that fund was zero, and we didn't have any money at all. If there was a potential exposure the state had, we had to go find money for that, and through the good leadership of this body over the last 8 or 9 years, that amount is now up to around $40 million. And, yes, they had come back to reduce that by $1.5 million, which we didn't feel was a true reduction in government, and we didn't want to start cutting into that fund. But the compromise was we still do cut into that fund to the tune of $408,000.
Further discussion on Section 006, A and I.
Question.
All in favor of the motion, say aye on Section 006.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 006 has been adopted. Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, a quick introduction. Privilege of the floor.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. Members of the Senate, over here in this gallery, we have representatives from the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. They're state officers. I'll introduce each other. If they stand up, kind of wave their hand as I say their name, their high school they're from, their community. We have Laura Ross, President, Southeast. Shaylee Hickson, Vice President, Burlington. Ashley Housekeeper, Secretary, Lyman, Bridger Valley. Sarah Mays, Public Relations, Tongue River. And Cody Jolovich, Parliamentarian, Tongue River. Could we welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. Please enjoy your day.
kind of familiar.
Senator Hastert, are you ready on Section 007, Wyoming Military Department?
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 007, Wyoming Military Department. And members of the Senate, it's just on you see that 2012, 18 million. Looking at the governor's recs of 627, the JAC's 236, and 17, the 17 million, and then the 33 in federal funds, and then our footnotes. We adopted the governor's rec to reduce the budget by 691 in general fund on the first responders retirement contribution. We adopted the transfer of 250,000 and three positions to the enterprise technology, along with the 816 federal funds for the IT consolidation. Added footnote three, directing the agency to pursue reimbursement for fire expenditures. And then reduced the governor's rec 46,000. 668 by 8,000, making a total of 38,000, 625 for retiree health insurance, and then footnote 5, reduced the governor's rec by 5,544, making it 38,000 for the retiree general, for the retiree health insurance. We added 247,000 for firefighter positions at Camp Guernsey. These are five positions. It's all federal funds. Adopted the governor's rec for network support and 1,457 for security contract services. And then specifying in footnote four that that the firefighters could be called on for state emergencies. And then denied the governor's rec for two veteran service officer positions. And that's basically the military department.
Questions on Section 007. Senator Burns.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on that first footnote, $691,107 was reduced from the first responder retirement contributions. Was that because it wasn't necessary, or did we just kick that liability down the road?
Mr. Chairman, my recollection is that was just no longer necessary. It wasn't being utilized.
Further discussion, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a question in regard to, and this is off the cheat sheet, number three, JAC added footnote number three, directing the agency to pursue reimbursements of fire expenditures occurred as a result of training exercise Camp Guernsey. Would you elaborate just a little bit in regard to that item, please?
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, as I recall in testimony that Camp Guernsey had a fire that was related to a unit using some types of artillery that, if I remember right, weren't necessarily supposed to be used in that particular time frame due to the high fire season that we were having at that time. And that fire not only burned parts of Guernsey, but then off of the camp itself into the surrounding community. And we've asked them to pursue federal dollars in help support of that. You know, it's by the fact that we are training with, you know, utilizing training from units from across the country, that we felt it was right that they should pursue some other types of reimbursement.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, on the cheat sheet on footnote 10, it talks about denying two veteran service officer positions. Were those regional positions, or are they here in the state government positions here in the Capitol? What was that situation?
Those were statewide, as I recall, statewide positions for veteran services for the state. You can certainly there was a lot of discussion on whether or not there was a need for those, and certainly that's It will be, open for continued discussion.
Okay. Thanks.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 007. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 007 has been adopted. Next section, 008, Office of the Public Defender. Senator Perkins. Senator, did you move the section?
Oh, I thought I did. I move section 008, Office of Public Defender.
Microphone?
Oh, I moved my microphone, too, anyway.
I couldn't hear you.
You want me one more time?
I didn't turn you on yet.
Now that I'm turned on, Mr. Chairman, I move. I really move section 008, Office of the Public Defender. Mr. Chairman, what we have here is... We start off with the total appropriation of the general fund for the biennium of $21 million and change. And the governor had offered up, the agency offered up, and the governor recommended a reduction of $779,810 to come with the general fund appropriation, with showing that reduction of now at $20,887,692. What that mostly has to do is we adopted the governor's rec with just a few modifications. The reduction consists mostly of space rental and contract services related to that. There's a couple of modifications that we made. One is that if you go to 3 on your cheat sheet, the JAC adopted the governor's rec of $200,000. We cut that. We modified that a little bit. But ultimately, what this $200,000 is for, the U.S. Supreme Court has made numerous decisions, has some decisions out regarding what's required in death penalty or capital cases. In those cases, it requires some additional funding if when they come up for generally specialized counsel and specialized investigations in those types of cases. So we had a little bit of money there. And then we also have, of course, the small modifications related for the ETS position movement. And other than that, it was a pretty straightforward bill. And if there's no questions, I'll ask for the question.
Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The 170,000, well, 200,000, I guess, total part of his special revenue for the capital case. Is that permanent now? Does that fold into their standard budget? Because always before, capital case funding has been done on an individual basis as needed. It didn't fold into their standard budget.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. My recollection was that what this is I think we'll see this. It's basically an impressed fund that's to have it there if it's needed. I don't think it's specified for any particular investigation or particular cases at this time, but simply recognizing that there are some additional requirements on public defenders in that regard and making sure that we provided for that in the future. In addition, I did forget to remember that there was never mind, it's not in this one. Sorry, wrong department. If there's no further questions, I'll ask for the question.
Questions on Section 008 by Senator Perkins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 008 has been adopted. Section 009, Wyoming Pipeline Authority.
Mr. Senator Chairman, I move Section 009, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. Mr. Chairman, they had $1.2 million in their general fund appropriation. We reduced it by 8% in their contract services and technical research services to come up with $1.15 million. Is there any questions? I call for the question.
Any questions on Section 009? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I have a question on the math. You've got a budget of $1.2 million, and you've reduced by $48,000. That, to me, works out to 4%, not 8%.
Senator Bebop. Senator Bebop.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, my colleague from Sheridan County has a good calculator. That is 4%. That was the governor's rec, and we agreed.
Further discussion on Section 009? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 009 has been adopted. Section 010, Department of Agriculture. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 010, Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chairman, we pretty much went with the governor, and the governor pretty much went with the Department of Agriculture, with a few exceptions. And this primarily was a whole lot of little cuts to a lot of programs, but we did make a couple of changes here. First of all, the ETS positions, we'll get them out of the way. That was $159,812. Then we restored $30,000 in general funds for partial funding to the pesticide disposal program. And we had a little bit of discussion about that during the pesticide bill. This is a program that your local communities use. So there's a spot where they can take their pesticides without pouring them in the gutter or throwing them in the trash. And so we felt that was important to keep at least partial funding in that. And then also we restored partial funding of $2,000 for in-state travel to the grain warehouse program. I bet you guys can't believe where that one came from. Mr. Chairman, there are a couple ones here that I want to draw your attention to. And these are some programs that were near and dear to my heart and to some of the folks in the ag area here. Pesticide registration program. This is the fees that come off all the pesticide chemicals as they come in. There's a fee associated with that for registration. And we had a bill out a long time ago that these things just flowed right through the weed and pest. But the Department of Ag interrupted $306,568 of those, and we went along with that, and that was kind of heartburn. Then another one that we want to look at is the mosquito abatement program, and this is something that I think there'll be flex in the governor's budget if we have to go back in and start spraying for West Nile. But this is where you get your West Nile spraying done, so this is really important to communities like Fremont County, Goshen County, Platte County, some of these places where there's been some West Nile problems. But all in all, it's a lot of small cuts in a lot of different areas that shouldn't hurt anybody too much. I want to do a little more checking on the inspections and trainings. That might have to do with some of our local meat inspectors. I want to make sure there's still enough money left in that. But for all in all, Mr. Chairman, it seemed to be the governor bought off on just about everything, as well as the JAC on the cuts that the Department of Ag made. So I'd stand for any questions.
The questions on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Section 010. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 010 has been adopted. Section 011, Department of Revenue. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 011, Department of Revenue. And in the footnotes there, you see that the governor's rec is to reduce the agency budget by $403,615, which we adopted with some modifications. The reduction consists of one full-time, one AWAC, operating expenses and contract services. And then in footnote 2, the governor's rec to transfer $484,663 general fund and 10 positions with the corresponding monies to the enterprise technology. And then the governor's budget to modify the governor's budget reduction by $355,932 general fund, reducing the computer maintenance costs to the GIS section. There you see the Department of Revenue's governor's rec of 882 and the JAC's 355 recommendations, and that should be the Department of Revenue.
Questions on Section 011. Senator Schiffer.
For the GIS, for the CAMA system, Mr. Chairman, I recall that's the system that they use to value property in each of our 23 counties. What kind of impact is that going to have in terms of timeliness and our county assessors and all that stuff? Tell me more about whose eye it's coming out of.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, it says we were reducing the computer maintenance costs for that, so that's going to be slipping over. It's be picked up, I believe, if I remember right, that's going to be picked up in the enterprise technology. We're just, we just reduced their computer maintenance costs.
Senator Bebout.
And Mr. Chairman, to add to that, the discussion we had during the discussion with the department is that that was duplicative, and so we thought that they thought very comfortably they could reduce that because they didn't need that kind of money to do the maintenance side.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Questions on Section 011 being Senator Hastert's motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 011, Department of Revenue, has been adopted. Section 014, Miners Hospital Board. Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 014, Miners Hospital Board. There is an agent, that's a department there. That agency receives no general fund money. We adopted the governor's rec to move 864 of the Object Code 301 to recover the recovery of IT services, and then a rec of 1,565 for wellness hearing and medical assistance programs, and then the 723 match for the language to the budget worksheet. And that's pretty much it for the Miners Hospital. That much, it doesn't get any general fund money. They just draw off the corpus of their land accounts, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? All in favor of Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 014, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 014 has been adopted. Section 015, Attorney Generals. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Now that I'm turned on, Mr. Chairman,
your turn.
Once
on.
Again, move Section 15, Attorney General's Office. All we've got in here is there was a number of modifications. I'll go through them very quickly. What it is, we reduced the agency budget from $66,666,000 and change by $2.3 million, or at least that's what the rec was. As we went through there, we made a couple changes to the governor's rec. I would note, Mr. Chairman, that this does, in addition to the seven ETS positions that are moving from the department to ETS, there was actually a reduction of two positions, which I believe, if I remember right, were attorney positions in the department. In addition to that, were some operating expenses and also some grants and contract services comprised the rest of the reductions. As we said, we moved 70 positions to ETS. One of the other things that happened, there was a correction. If you look at number four on your cheat sheet, there was some replacing tobacco funding with some amounts of some general funds. That was mostly to correct an error in the original budget bill. We also, the governor had and the department had recommended and reduced the $175,000 of the general fund. What that was a special prosecutor's fund. What that was money that was available for counties in high-profile cases to tap that money if they needed it for overloads under certain requirements in those counties. So that was really kind of a reserve fund in case it was needed. We restored that to the counties and would note that in the testimony there's been some additional regulations that have streamlined that to some degree and made it so it would be more available to counties when they need it through the Court Security Commission, I think, are in the process of adopting those rules. There was also we adopted the governor's recommendation of $26,300 of general fund money for some one-time office rental expenses, and then finally we also modified the budget reduction by $880,000 to the general fund, which is reducing the reduced the victim witness funding. Didn't reduce it. There's still $1.9 million in victim witness funding, so we thought that was an appropriate offered up by the agency, recommended denial by the governor's office, but if I remember right, we modified that and accepted about half of the reduction. I think that covers it for the Attorney General's office, and I would stand for questions. Oh, one more point I guess I did needed to have. When you look at number three, what we've got is creating a special revenue fund of $202,000 and change. What that is removed. There's two state recovery attorneys who were attached to the Department of Health. Those attorney positions are being with that. They'll actually now contract with the Attorney General's office for that, but we keep the funding in the Department of Health so that we can maintain our federal match. The federal government will help offset the costs of that estate recovery. So we're doing that, but ultimately relocating those attorneys into that office, which will do the work.
Senator Cooper, the senator from many counties.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you give us a little bit, Senator, a little bit better explanation on that footnote 4 on the cheat sheet there about tobacco funding issue? What was that all about?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I remember right, that was simply an error. In the original budget, that amount was identified to come from tobacco funding, and it just in looking at that, it was an error in that, and it needed to come out of the general fund, and so it was just that was just simply a technical correction that was brought to us by staff, is my recollection.
Other discussion? Other discussion? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question, and I assume it's here because I don't remember where it is, but question regarding the tobacco funding, if there's any of that piggy bank left and where that $600,000 from general fund would be going and where we could track that, Senator. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
I'll have to come back with the specifics on that, but no, the tobacco funding is still there. There are certain amounts that are spun off each year. The tobacco fund generates money, and that money is available for use each year. There's still money, there's still tobacco money there, and we still use it for the various purposes related to, and that this spot is identified for appropriate for tobacco use, tobacco funding.
Senator Bebap.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, my memory is correct. It's around $70 million in that. We'll get you the number. $70 million. And there's an ongoing amount that comes in because of the tobacco settlement case that happened many years ago, and my tall colleague from Natrona County knows all about that, but I'll give you the exact numbers.
Any further discussion? Questions on Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Section 015. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 015 has been adopted. Section 020, Department of Environmental Quality. Anybody want this?
Oh, yeah.
Senator Bebop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 20, Department of Environmental Quality. And, Mr. Chairman, what we did with this is we did the 8% that added up to $1.425 million. They had one full-time position that was vacant that we removed. They had four positions, three full-time, one AWAC. Three of those went to ETS, and one AWAC went to ETS. And, Mr. Chairman, if you'll look on your footnotes, you'll see that we eliminated two additional positions. These are positions that were open, but the department is in the process of filling. And I will tell the members of the Senate that we're looking at this, and we're going to come with a supplemental footnote on this because there's a way to work that out. There's a real need for these two positions to be filled. They're in land quality, and it gets back to the discussion of, 4 or 5 years ago, where we added 14 positions to the DEQ to work on the coal bed methane boom that was going on in the water quality, and we've tracked through and where all those positions are, and we'll be able to bring that to you. If you look at the reductions, most of it is computer maintenance, service contract, contract services, and operating expenses. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions on Section 020. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your footnote on the budget footnote 1, the joint minerals business review of the lust tax, the leaking underground storage tanks. Is the goal of that to look at some of that severance tax that's flowing there and see if some of that can't be diverted over to the landfill fund, see what our obligation is and see if some of that money can go the other way?
Senator Bebop.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what we're looking at. And if you'll recall, we started the leaking underground storage program in the late 80s. There was a real need and situation in Wyoming that existed how to do that, and we did a swap with our one penny on the gasoline tax, but we couldn't utilize that because of our Constitution. We utilized severance tax money, and now we've got the low-hanging fruit, the high-hanging fruit, and there was a lot of discussion about should we, in fact, phase that into looking at the landfill issue and how, using that revenue stream and those people to do that. And, Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what this is to do, is to start looking at that slow conversion to shift away from the leaking underground storage tank that we think we've done a great job, 20 years we've been doing it. Landfills are a higher priority, and to shift into that, and that's the purpose of that footnote.
Senator Hein.
Mr. Chairman, one question I have on these budgets, and this one, there's four positions that are being transferred. It reduces this budget, but it does not reduce the total budget. Then is those transfers being handled in another budget later on?
Senator Bebop.
Mr. Chairman, you know, if you look at and track it, the positions and the funds go to the ETS, and you'll see another budget that's called ETS, and they'll all show up, and there'll be about 240 positions will come in there with the money.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Bebop's motion to adopt Section 020. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It's been adopted. Section 021, Department of Audit. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 021, Department of Audit. We're looking at an 8% reduction, $599,565 general fund. It's a reduction of one position and operating expense, space, rental, and contract services. And in footnote 2, you see the necessary adjustments were the IT consolidation, and the one position was an unfilled position under the in the mineral audit section, and that, Mr. Chairman, is Department of Audit.
Questions or discussions on Section 021? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, question on the basic functions of the audit department. Now, they do audits on our, amongst other things, on some of our state agencies, do they not? And Mr. Chairman, I've heard a complaint about the risk management local risk pool going beyond their legislative functions and starting to compete with the private sector. Is that the sort of thing that Department of Audit can get into?
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall that debate or that coming up in the committee. I'd ask maybe if another committee member remembers something on that, but that wasn't something that I recalled in testimony that we took in the committee.
Further discussion? Yeah. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the cheat sheet on footnote 1, right towards the end of that sentence there, it talks about this reduction in space rental costs. I always thought that Department of Audit offices are all over here in the Hearst building. Do they pay rent on that, or do they have a satellite facility someplace, or how does that? I just don't understand that space rental thing there. I didn't even know they had that.
Senator Bebop.
Mr. Chairman, I think I recall that, and what we've been doing is we've been having space rented in other communities in our country, like in Houston, where we've been going down there and doing audits, and they felt like that the situation was such that they wouldn't need that anymore with the way the audits were being conducted. Not that they're not doing them, not that they're not going to proceed and do everything they're supposed to do, but they didn't need that rental space in Houston. That was my recollection.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The mover of the amendment mentioned this is an 8% cut, and I'm wondering 8% of what? Because if it's of the total budget, it's a 4% cut.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's an overall general fund budget reduction target, which was the $599,568, $565. That was what between what the governor recommended and what JAC's actions.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Go ahead and call for the question on that.
Questions on Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Section 021. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 021 has been adopted. Now, Senator Nicholas.
May the whole beg leave.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion adopted. Okay.
Do we have anything? What? Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Heard the motion. Announcements. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9 minerals will meet in approximately 15 minutes to take up House Bill 6, Solid Waste Disposal District Board Terms, and House Bill 55, Surface Mining Operation Exemptions.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, 10 minutes after adjournment today in room S14. House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings on Track Vehicles. House Bill 80, Engrossed, Healthcare Provider Retention Program, sunset date. House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls. And House Bill 100, Engrossed, Vehicle Registration Fees, Assistive Devices.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your lucky committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room S19, the regular room. We'll take up House Bill 2, Engrossed, Election Code Revisions, House Bill 3, Effective Financing Statements, / Duration, House Bill 9, Engrossed, Election Code Revisions 2. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, although I know it's number 1 in your heart, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning up in room S14, where we will discuss House Bill 28, Disabled Hunter Programs, House Bill 29, Game Licenses, Landowner Coupons, House Bill 41, Engrossed, Wild Bison Licenses, and House Bill 110, Engrossed, Off-Road Vehicle Gasoline Tax Distribution Sunset.
Any further announcements? Seeing none. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.